In retrospect, it appears not to have been one of my best decisions.
He turned back to Jane.
I still want to know how you knew all this.
I have my sources, Jane said, and you've told us what we need to know. The Colonial Union has cut us loose.
It wasn't my decision, Rybicki said. I don't think it's right.
I know, Jane said, but that doesn't really matter at this point. Rybicki looked to me for a more sympathetic view.
He didn't get one. What do you plan to do now? He asked.
We can't tell you, Jane said.
Because you don't trust me, Rybicki said.
Because the same source that lets me know what you're thinking will let someone else know what we're planning, Jane said. We can't afford that.
But you're planning something, Rybicki said. You used a cracked encryption to send us a message. You wanted it to be read. You're trying to draw someone here.
It's time for you to go, General, Jane said.
Rybicki blinked, unused to being dismissed.
He got up and went to the door, turning back to us as he got to it.
Whatever you two are doing, I hope it works, he said. I don't know how it will all turn out if you manage to save this colony. But it's got to be better than how it turns out if you don't.
He left.
I turned to Jane. You need to tell me how you did that, I said. How you got that information. You didn't share that with me before.
I didn't have it before, she said, and tapped her temple. You told me that General Zeilert said that he gave me the full range of command functions. One of those command functions, in the Special Forces at least, is the ability to read minds.
Excuse me, I said.
Think about it, Jane said. When you have a brain pal, it learns to read your thoughts. That's how it works. Using it to read other people's thoughts is just a software issue. Generals in the Special Forces have access to their soldiers' thoughts, although Zeiler told me most of the time it's not very useful, since people are thinking about pointless things. This time, it came in handy.
So, anyone who has a brain pal can have their thoughts read, I said.
Jay nodded. And now you know why I couldn't come to Phoenix Station with you. I didn't want to give anything away.
I motioned toward the door Rybicki had just stepped out of. You just gave it away to him, I said.
No, Jane said. He doesn't know I've been enhanced. He's just wondering who on his staff leaked and how it got to me.
You're still reading his mind, I said.
Haven't stopped since he landed, Jane said. Won't stop until he's gone.
What's he thinking now? I asked.
He's still thinking about how I knew that information, Jane said. And he's thinking about us. He's hoping we succeed. That part wasn't a lie.
Does he think we will? I asked.
Of course not, Jane said.
The beam turrets focused on the incoming missiles and fired. But there were too many missiles to focus on. The turrets went up in an excessive blast that flung debris across the fields in which they were located, some distance from Croatoan.
I'm getting a message, Jane said, to me and Trujillo. It's an order to stop fighting and to prepare for a landing, she paused. I'm being told that any further resistance will result in a complete carpet bombing of the colony. I'm being asked to acknowledge the message. Failure to reply within about a minute will be taken as defiance, and bombing will proceed.
What do you think? I asked Jane.
We're as ready as we're going to be for this, Jane said.
"Manfred," I said. "We're ready," he said. "And I hope to God this works."
"Kronjek? Biata?"
I turned back to where Jan Kronjek and Biata stood, the two of them fully decked out in reporter gear.
Biata nodded.
Kronjek gave a thumbs up.
"Tell them that we acknowledge their message and that we are ceasing fire," I said to Jane. "Tell them we look forward to their arrival to discuss terms of surrender."
"Done," Jane said, a moment later.
I turned to Savitri, who was standing next to Biata.
"You're on," I said.
"Great,"
Savitri said, in an entirely unconvincing tone of voice.
You'll be fine, I said.
I feel like I'm going to throw up, she said.
Yeah, I'm afraid I left the bucket back at the office, I said.
I'll just throw up on your boots, Savitri said.
Seriously, I said. Are you ready to do this, Savitri? She nodded.
I'm ready, she said. Let's do it.
We all went to our positions. Sometime later, a light in the sky resolved itself into two troop transports. The transports hovered over Croatoan for some small amount of time before landing a click away in an unsown field. The field had originally been sown. We had plowed under the early seedlings. We had planned on troop transports, and we hoped to convince them to land in a particular spot by making it more appealing than other places. It worked. In the back of my head, I imagined Jane smiling grimly. Jane would have been cautious about landing in the one agricultural field that didn't have plants sticking out of it, but that's one of the reasons we did it. I would have been cautious, too, when I was leading troops. Basic military competence was going to matter here, and this was our first clue as to what sort of fight we had on our hands. I took my binoculars and peered through. The transports had opened, and soldiers were piling out of the bays. They were compact, mottled, and thickly skinned. Arisian, all of them, like their leader. This was another way this invasion force differed from General Gao's fleet. Gao spread the responsibility for his incursions among the entire conclave. Esser was saving the glory of this attack for his own people. The soldiers formed into platoons. Three platoons, 30 or 35 soldiers each. About 100 overall. Esser was definitely feeling cocky. But then the 100 soldiers on the ground were an illusion. No doubt Esser had a few hundred more back on his ship, not to mention that the ship itself was capable of blasting the colony from orbit. On the ground or above, Esser had more than enough firepower to kill us all several times over. Most of the Arisian soldiers slung the standard Arisian automatic rifle, a slug thrower known for its velocity, accuracy, and high rate of fire. Two soldiers in each platoon carried shoulder-mounted missile launchers. Given the incursion, this looked like they were going to be for show more than anything else. No beam weapons or flamethrowers, as far as I could see. Now came Esser, flanked by an honor guard. Esser was dressed in Arisian military gear, a bit of show because he'd never served. But I suppose if you're going to try to show up a general in a military mission, you'd best dress for the part. Esser's limbs were thicker, and the fiber tufts around his eye stalks were darker than those of his soldiers. He was older and more out of shape than those who were serving him. But inasmuch as I could figure out any emotion from his alien head, he seemed pretty pleased with himself. He stood in front of his soldiers, gesticulating. It looked like he was giving a speech. Asshole. He was only a click away, motionless over flat ground. If I or Jane had the right rifle, we could have taken the top of his head clean off. Then we might be dead, because then his soldiers and his ship would flatten the colony. But it would be fun while it lasted. It was moot. We didn't have the right kind of rifle, and anyway, no matter what happened, we wanted Esser alive at the end of it. Killing him was not in the cards. Alas. While Esser talked, his guard was actively scanning the environment, looking for threats. I hoped that Jane, in her position, was making note of that. Not everyone in this little adventure was entirely incompetent. I wistfully wished I could tell her to make a note of it, but we were in radio silence. We didn't want to give away the game before it had begun. Esser finally stopped with his talk, and the whole company of soldiers began to walk across the field toward the road that linked the farm to Croatoan. A squad of soldiers took the lead, looking for threat and movement. The rest moved in formation, but without much discipline. No one expected much resistance. Nor would they find any on the road to Croatoan.
The entire colony was awake and aware of the invasion, of course, but we warned them all to stay in their homes or in their shelters and not to engage while the soldiers passed into Croatoan. We wanted them to play the part of the cowed and frightened colonists they were supposed to be. For some of them, this wasn't going to be a problem. For others, it was going to take effort. The former group, we wanted to be safe as possible. The latter group, we wanted contained. We gave them tasks for later, if there was a later.